next avenue.
Yeah.
That's my next avenue.
Well, go out of state. Yeah.
I'll go where I need to.
Yeah.
If I can get her done.
Welcome to A Voice of the People, live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there today? Well, God is good and greatly to be praised, and the sun is shining. So, we want to get along with our show today. We are live right here on www.wwgh1071.com, and we are also live right now on that TuneIn app, which you can download. And in your search bar, please type in WWGH. Now, you can do this on any electronic device, okay? We're live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or just like to be a part of the show, we have Mary Ellen Withrow, who is the 40th Treasurer of the United States, and we have Fred Malone, the Chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. Call in if you want to be a part of the show, if you have any questions in reference to the subjects that we will be covering. Okay, now, along with you, faithful supporters, and if it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time, we have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place this Saturday, May the 17th, from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars. Share the information with others. And Cheryl Lee, the coordinator for Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, Marion City and County, along with North Union City and County Elementary Schools. Please lift Cheryl Lee up in prayer. Okay, so now I will turn my attention to my guest today, Mary Ellen. How are you doing?
Fine.
I'm glad to see you. I'm so excited. You have to come back next month with Fred, if you can. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, is he on once a month?
Okay. Yep, yeah, you have to come back. Yeah, yeah, because there will be some other historical events going on in June.
Yes.
For Juneteenth celebration.
Yeah. Yes, I'm right. I'm to speak to some school children at the Historical Society.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw your name there. I'll be there, too.
Yeah.
Is that the fifth graders that's coming in?
I don't know.
I thought it was eighth graders. I think it is.
We get so many different kids
but
groups.
Next Wednesday, I'm talking to some school children at the Women's Club Home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And at the Historical Society, then I think a few days after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They usually come on Fridays. The school kids usually
yes,
come on Fridays.
That's right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great, though, to be able to share history with these young people.
Yes, because, you know, they weren't born to know anything about this. And I talked to school children the whole time I was in office because I was trying to impress upon them the importance of government,
mm-hmm.
and that they should pay attention to their government. And it was very evident that we all need to do that.
Right.
You know, Mary Ellen was instrumental in getting the Sacagawea mm-hmm. Dollar. And, you know, that has morphed into so much more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a coin collector.
Right.
Have been for better than 60 years. And the Sacagawea coin now, the backs of the Sacagawea coin now are going through the Native American program. So they're okay. picking out Native Americans who have made some contribution to the country in history or whatever. And we have down at the museum, we have a Sacagawea coins available from 2018 that have Jim Thorpe's image on the back because of Jim Thorpe's connection to Marion County and the and the LaRue football team, you know, the Orang Bang Indians. So, but that is morphed, and that's still going. Every year they put out a new Sacagawea coin for the year with a Native American on the back of it.
Oh.
And they did it with females, and now they're doing it with Native Americans. So they're highlighting. So that program that you were instrumental in getting going is continuing on yet to this day. So your legacy just keeps chugging along, boy, just like that train moving
right
along.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the things that I did when I was U.S. Treasurer, the State Quarters Program is another one that has been very popular, and everybody collected the state quarters. And then we redesigned the currency for the first time since 1928, which made a big difference, and we released the $100 bill all over the world on the same day, which took some real doing.
Real planning.
Yeah. The Secret Service were very nervous, but it all ended up quite well. I said, I don't know how many times I'd said that your old money is still good, because there's two-thirds of our currency is outside of the United States, so that meant that other countries had our money under their mattress or wherever, you know. And we didn't want them to have a riot somewhere over the money, so we kept saying your old money will still be good. But it was all a big success.
Well, great.
Yeah. And the quarter program is continuing on, because they did territories and other, you know,
not
just the states, but they kept on going with the quarters with the other program.
Yeah.
I wonder sometimes, Mary Ellen, being a coin collector, coin and paper money both, I collect both, I wonder just how many silver certificates and gold certificates are still somewhere else in the world.
Yes.
That never got turned in.
Yes.
You know, as a collector, I'd love to find some. You know?
Yes, isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I've had letters from collectors that want certain bills, you know.
Sure.
And, it's interesting how people are interested in certain things. And, They collect anything that's not correct.
Yes.
Right? It's more valuable than the correct one.
Yeah, errors.
We had to be so careful at Treasury, because any mistake that was made would be sold for like lots of money, and we felt that sometimes it was done on purpose.
Well, in 1879. The New Orleans Mint was still minting coins, minting silver dollars. And I think it's 1879. I want to do Carson City first. Carson City was doing silver dollars. And that was from the Comstock Lode. They had so much silver out there, they started minting coins.
Yeah.
And so in 1879, the New Orleans Mint had gotten a hold of some of the Carson City coinage, and they overstamped an O over top of the CC.
Oh.
If you can find one of those today,
yeah,
they're worth about $20,000 for one silver dollar.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
because they didn't have any more blanks, so they used old blanks from Carson City.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So. There were a lot of mints.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, I was in charge of 6 mints, and then it was 5 because they had 2 in San Francisco, and they closed the 1, which was it was due to the gold rush, and it was so much fun to go through. I hope it's still there. I don't even know.
I think the building is still there.
Is
yeah,
it? but the whole mint was so fascinating.
Right, I bet it was.
It was, and and then I would hear from these other mints that had been in existence and were no longer, but it was Pennsylvania and
one in Georgia. There was one in Georgia.
Was there?
Dallagiga or something like that. Georgia, yep.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Very little known, but there was one there.
Yeah, well, it was what I was in charge of was Pennsylvania and Denver and San Francisco and West Point and Fort Knox.
Right.
And Fort Knox, I, of course, went through there. I was in charge of it, but they would scratch off a little bit of the gold on one of the bricks each room. So they really didn't want to take anybody through Fort Knox because they were losing money every time they did.
Scratched it off, yeah.
So when I saw Trump going through Fort Knox, I thought, oh my gosh, there goes the gold.
Yeah, that's right. You better be carting out some bricks. Yeah.
Yes, right.
You better be.
Yes, look at it now. Yeah, but we've still got it. Yeah, I was always so afraid they would sell it. And I said, that's our savings account.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
And look at the price of gold now.
Yes, I know.
Way up over $3,300, almost $3,400 at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that for a gold bar or an ounce?
That's an ounce. That's 1 ounce.
That's one little ounce. Ounce.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And here's
you can't get anything done worth anything anymore with gold because it's so expensive. Look at his coins.
Yeah, it is now. Too
those
bad.
Those look fancy.
That's an ounce right there. That's an ounce. That's
oh,
an
my
ounce.
Gosh.
Isn't that neat?
$2,300 for that?
No, yeah. That's silver. That's only, but I mean, that's if only it was, worth about $40.
Okay, yeah, but if that was gold.
But it's gold, that'd be worth over $3,400.
But there's so many people that collect all this stuff.
I know.
Yes.
Well, these are my good luck charms.
Yes, and the
these are from the 76.
Okay.
So I carry a half and a silver dollar.
Yeah, the Kennedy half dollar. Yeah. Or the Kennedy dollar.
Yeah, those are just clad.
Yeah.
No, it's a half dollar.
It's a half dollar.
Half dollar,
dollar right.
Yeah. And yeah, those are clad. Those have the what they call cupro nickel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the coin organizations were always wanting new members. I'd go and speak to their people and to their coin shows, and they would take out this spider press and at the coin shows, and then they'd sell what they'd print off the spider press to the public, and then I'd sign it, you know.
Sure.
And it was always quite a procedure. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Believe it or not, now I started in the banking business in 1968 when I just graduated from high school and was starting college in the fall, and I got a job at the bank in Logan. So I started collecting then. There were still silver certificates coming through all the time, so I would pull them out and replace them with the current dollar bill. Or if there were silver change, I would replace it. And so I've been collecting for a long time. I have gold that I bought at $35 an ounce.
Really?
Yeah, I still have it.
Well, good. Hang on.
I know that's right. Hang on.
I still have it. But look at $35 an ounce. Used to be the standard price. Roosevelt set that price. Franklin.
Right. Right.
$35 an ounce. $3,400 an ounce.
I know. Rich man.
Yeah.
Well, All right. Thank you, Mary.
Yes.
Thank
you
so much.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Yes. It's been a joy. Absolutely a joy.
Yeah.
You be careful.
And one of these afternoons, I'll call you and come over and bring some of my buttons to show you.
Don't be a stranger.
I was going to ask you, too, did they ever set up the plaque?
No, that's coming. Yes.
Have they set a date for it?
28th.
28th. Let me write that down in my book. Got a time?
It starts at 11 in the morning. Because we got that festival going on as well, so that's over at 5. But the commemoration of that and the big ceremony that we're going to have.
Now, that's this month or next month?
June 28th.
June. Okay. Oh, okay, so it's Juneteenth. Okay.
Yes, Juneteenth celebration, part of it, yeah.
On Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
11 o'clock is
11
the,
o'clock.
Is the monument.
Is the monument.
Or plaque, what would you call it?
It's a historical marker.
Okay. And that's at Martin Luther King Park, right?
Yes, it is. Well, we kind of want some people to, if they want to have remarks, that they can. So if you decide you want to, just let me know.
Oh, sure, if you want me to. Sure, yeah. I'd be glad to.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it short. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Absolutely. I don't have anything going on that day, so.
Yeah, it should be a big event. Hopefully, we're working very
hard
to get it together.
And there's a festival going on all day?
Till 5 o'clock.
Till 5 o'clock.
Yeah. to 5 o'clock. It's going to be right inside the park anyway, so things will be set up and people will be serving food and kids will be there playing
and stuff.
How's
parking down there? I never really paid much attention to where the parking availability.
Well, there is a parking lot just right across the street and on the very corner where Pillar Bank used to be, there's parking up in that area as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And possibly on the other street, which is not far. You can just walk over. People kind of do pretty well about that, you know. And then you have MLK Street Avenue, and you can park alongside that as well. Right. There will be food trucks there, too.
The festival starts at what time?
It starts at 12, so the monument
will be first.
We'll probably run into it, yes.
Okay, and then the festival will go till what, 5?
Till 5.
Till 5. Till 5. Okay.
So we're asking people to, you know, walk around, look at the exhibits and things like that, and enjoy it part of the festival while you're there. You don't have to stay a long time, but...
Have you talked to Brandy about maybe setting up a table from the Historical Society down there?
I have not. Don't we have a meeting next...
We do, next Tuesday, yeah.
Bring that up.
Bring that up.
I'll bring it up.
We should set up a table for that, yeah.
Right.
We should do some soliciting for memberships and also bring some things down from the black community in Marion to show.
Yes, I wanted to know about that, too.
Yeah, we could do that, yeah.
Do you have anything in your archives about 1919 when we were considered a sundown town?
I don't know, but I'll find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll find out. I did not realize that Marion was considered a sundown town that late.
Yeah.
Clear up until 1919.
And it was only one event that happened that happened. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And people said, well, why did blacks start coming back? And I think it was because of the president. President Harding.
Probably so. That was pretty prevalent all through the South, the sundown town. When I was a kid, back in the late 50s, early 60s, my mother's youngest sister always took me and my mother to Florida for a couple of weeks. I was a bad asthmatic. And they thought, you know, the sea air and all that type of thing would do good. So we would always leave and drive down. And my aunt, my mother's youngest sister, well, my mother's whole family, really, were big Civil War, big history people.
That's
where I get it from. And so we stopped at every Civil War battlefield on our way down. And we went through a lot of small southern towns. And still, even in the 50s, and the early 60s, you would see the black or the colored and the white. Drinking fountains, restrooms, restaurant, you name it.
All separated,
Which I could never, you know, quite grasp.
Right.
Because growing up in Southern Ohio, we didn't have that. You know, we didn't see any of that. And the Confederate flag hanging from every light post, you know. Yeah. I mean, it was just like everywhere. So, yes, I know that was very prevalent because you would go into these small towns and there would be a sign up that declared that this was a sundown town. Yeah. So there's like, I'm sure there's millions, if not trillions of people out there that don't know anything about what a sundown town is. So tell them, what is a sundown town, Linda?
A sundown town is anyone of color better not be seen after the sun goes down on the streets, in the stores, anywhere.
Because anything could happen
to them. Anything could happen. And they did not hold themselves responsible either.
Including death.
Including death.
Yeah.
Lynchings and pulling people apart, dogs being pulled, you know, let loose on people, and it's just a horrible thing.
It is.
Just to think about that, some of these things still can happen.
Well, and I hate to say this, but in some small southern town locations, there's still a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
It's never changed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So.
And again, that was one of the reasons why the Underground Railroad became so important to a huge segment of the population of this country, because they needed that way, that avenue. They needed people like Sojourner Truth that could get them in the connection to where they could take the Underground Railroad,
right,
and manage to get either to the northern states,
right,
or to Canada,
right,
for freedom.
Absolutely. And yeah, there were other people who had empathy for us, and they were white people, and I had to thank God for them,
sure,
because they helped,
sure, absolutely,
us along the way,
yeah,
to freedom, you know,
yeah,
and they just had a heart for the Lord, and
yep,
they did what the Lord commissioned them to do.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, everybody should plan on coming to Juneteenth,
hopefully,
celebration this year and be at that dedication at 11 o'clock. You're dedicating a historical marker to the incident that occurred in 1919. Right here in Marion.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because there were a lot of things still going on in the North, too. I mean, it wasn't all peaches and cream up here. Fortunately,
but
the majority,
right,
was,
right,
it was better.
Right, but it only took one incident.
That's true. That,
you know, just one incident.
To turn the clock back,
right,
basically, to change
the
things
entirely. And
the
person was innocent.
Sure.
But
sure,
that's what happened.
Well, I'm sure we've probably got something. I'll have Bobby take a look in the,
okay,
in Museum Past Perfect and see if anything comes up. I'm sure there's got to be some mention of it, I would think, somewhere. It maybe even in the newspapers from 1919.
Right, right. Yeah. So I'm going to, yeah, the library in the morning to check that out and see what they may have. Or maybe they can pull up from other surrounding counties.
Well, Bobby can do that for you, too,
oh,
if,
okay,
you stop up at the museum.
Okay.
Because she's got all the newspapers on. They're all digitized.
Oh, wow.
So she can look it up on her computer.
I will do,
yeah,
that.
She can help,
yeah,
you. Yeah, just ask her to check that.
I will do that.
I'll be up there tomorrow, too. I'm going to be docent tomorrow from 1 to 4, so I'll be there, too, if you got time to stop up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I mentioned that because I knew you hadn't said anything to me, and I didn't think it had happened that you'd forgotten tell me.
No.
So, but, yes, we do have a board meeting, a Historical Society board meeting next Tuesday at 5
next
o'clock.
Tuesday at,
yep, 5,
right.
5 o'clock, yeah, yeah. So, with what little time we got about 25 minutes here yet. Now is the time with kids. Kids will be getting out of school pretty soon, won't they? Or are they out now?
I think next week will be the last.
Yeah, it's
or either this Friday.
Memorial Day is, what, just a couple weeks away?
Yes.
So we're coming up on that pretty fast. Well, now is the time that everybody should be thinking about what they're going to do when the kids get home from school.
Summer. And
you got summer, and maybe you don't have a pocket full of money that you can take a European trip or a big trip someplace, but you know Ohio has so much history that you can, and Marion is centrally located. That's why we're called the heart of Ohio. You can go anywhere in the state of Ohio, basically within two and a half hours. About the furthest point away is Lake County, and that's about 2.5 hours away. You know, you can be in Toledo in a couple hours, Cincinnati in a couple hours. With interstate highways the way they are now, there's just so many places to go. But let me point out some towns first that are that one tank drive that you could go. And then we'll just see how much time we've got and see what this morphs into.
Okay. All right.
First of all, I'm thinking of the first town that was established in Ohio when we became a state in 1803. They actually were a town before 1803, but in 1803 that was a hub because it was on the river. It was on the Ohio River, and it was the Muskingum River was dumping into the Ohio there, and I'm talking about Marietta. Marietta, absolute beautiful town. It's a river town. The Muskingum River, which runs north and south, runs into the Ohio River. The Muskingum is just right at the downtown area.
Okay.
If you go into downtown Marietta, there's a big hotel on the corner there called the Lafayette, which has been there for probably, 1820s. I'm not sure exactly when it was built, but it's been there a long, long time. The Muskingum River runs right behind the Lafayette Hotel, dumps into the Ohio River. If you have a room in the Lafayette and get a river room, you can sit in your room and look out onto the Ohio River and see all the barges,
wow,
going up and down the
Ohio
River.
Scene.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes.
All the barges. The downtown of Marietta has been restored. So it is with the buildings. The buildings, Marietta, a lot of the original Ohio. Buildings are
right.
still there that were built in the early part of the 1800s. There's a huge museum there called Campus Martius Museum. It is all about the history of Marietta and the county. And inside that museum is the log home mm-hmm. of Rufus Putnam. Now, Rufus Putnam is a gentleman, he was a surveyor, and he was the gentleman that first ran what was to be known as the Ohio Land Company. And what they were doing there, when settlers would come up the Ohio River and settle in Marietta, they could go into the land company, and he would have a plot that showed all the areas that were available that you could buy
okay.
to start your own home. And so they would buy a plot of ground, build their home on it, and establish the area. So you can see that. Excuse me. There's also a sternwheeler there
okay.
that you can take a ride on.
What's a sternwheeler?
Oh, that's a paddle boat. That's
oh,
a,
that's, okay.
You know, like the Mississippi paddle boats?
Right, right.
There's one there that you can take a ride on. It'll take you up the river. There's a big island in the river up a ways from Marietta, and you'll go up one side of the river and down the up one side of the island and down the other and come back. It takes about a, it's about a two-hour trip on the boat. Absolute beautiful scenery.
Mm-hmm.
We were fortunate enough 2 years ago when we were taking that ride. We had just started down the river and weren't too far, and an eagle came out of the tree, swooped down over the boat. I could almost reach up and touch the thing.
Oh,
it was that
gosh.
Close. The wingspan on that eagle must have been 20 feet. It,
oh,
was, it was huge, and
Whoa.
It was that close to us. Yeah, yeah. That's another thing you can do. There are two mounds, two Indian mounds, within the city limits okay. of Marietta. One has a cemetery built all around it. That's the oldest cemetery in Marietta. Rufus Putnam, people like that are buried in that cemetery. You can spend hours
wow.
looking at old tombstones and seeing the history of the settlers from
okay.
that area. So that's a great place to go.
Right, right.
There's a couple other museums there. There's a university there. Marietta College is there. Beautiful campus that you can see. You can take a trolley ride around the city. And they will point out all the historic sites, and you'll go through some of the historic neighborhoods. Some of the homes are absolutely beautiful.
I bet they are.
Some of the churches there are absolutely
wow,
beautiful.
Wow, wow.
There's a beautiful Catholic church there. But the sites and the scenes that you'll see there, very well worth it. You can do the trip in from here about 2 hours. I like back roads, so I will usually go down Route 37, all the way down to Route 40 and cut across 40 into Zanesville and then pick up, I think it's Route 62 out of Zanesville. That runs right into Marietta. It's all back roads.
Okay.
So, you know, the traffic is very minimal. You can make a nice leisurely trip out of it and a lot of nice sights to see along your way, especially when you get on 62 and are heading south into Marietta. There are several dams and locks that you could stop at. Locks
okay.
were where they would, where the river was lower in certain areas, so boats would have to go into the lock to let the water raise up so they could go the rest of the way. So you can stop and see those. A lot of great places to sightsee down through there. So put that on your list. And then if we go, well, let's see, let's go.
What's the population of Marietta?
Marietta, the population itself is probably somewhere around 10,000 or 11,000.
It's
not a huge.
It's
not a huge town. The county itself, probably 35,000, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. But great place to visit. Great place to visit. Some antique shops there, and then you can just drive over the bridge, and you're in West Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to drive over the bridge, you can go right into West Virginia. All right. Let's go. Let's go to the east, and we're going to go over to East Liverpool.
Okay.
East Liverpool, Ohio. If you go up the road and get on Route 30 and follow Route 30 dead east, you will run right into East Liverpool. Stay on Route 30.
Okay.
You get off East Liverpool. East Liverpool, back 150 years ago... maybe 175 years ago,
wow,
was the center of all of the pottery making industry in Ohio. Dinnerware, plates, okay, fancy dinnerware. At one time, there were half a dozen factories there that were making dinnerware. My grandmother's, my great-grandmother's wedding dishes that she was given when she was married in 1881 came from a factory in East Liverpool. I have them. They've been handed down to me. Service for 12.
Right.
Families were always big back in those days. There's a great museum there that's the history of all the pottery making that took place there.
Right.
There is still one prominent company that's still in existence there. It's called the Homer Laughlin Company.
Okay.
Homer Laughlin made dinnerware. They also made a lot of dishes for restaurants and hotels, okay, places like that, big commercial organizations. They also are the home of Fiesta Ware. Have you heard of Fiesta Ware?
Yes, I have.
Yep. They make, and still today, they are making Fiesta Ware.
Okay.
And you can tour the factory. I think the factory tour is free.
Okay.
And then they also have the wares on sale there. They have a big, beautiful sales room. And they also have two large rooms of seconds.
Oh.
And so you can buy seconds in there. And,
okay,
and we've bought a lot of seconds there over the year. In fact, we eat dinner off of our seconds all the time. Because generally, the seconds are a very, very minute flaw.
Right,
but they can't sell them in
right,
the regular, yeah, regular season. So you buy these great seconds in there for a fraction of what you would pay for the, you know, for the first run stuff.
The unflawed.
Yeah, the unflawed stuff. But the actual factory tour itself is great because you can see how it's all done.
Okay.
Right from the beginning when they take the clay, which is basically coming out of the river bottom, which when you pull into the parking lot of Homer Laughlin and park your car, you're parking... And then straight down is the river, is Ohio River, the Ohio River. So you're right on the river, fabulous, fabulous place. If you are interested in horse racing, right up the road from Homer Laughlin, I forget the route number for that is, but you just go on past Homer Laughlin up the road, is the Mountaineer, which originally was just a racetrack, but now they, of course, they have a casino built there, too, and a hotel there that you can stay in. But we enjoy going to the races because it's they're not harness racing, it's jockeys.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
Like Scioto Downs.
Yeah. Well, actually, Beulah Downs. We used to be the the jockey races. Scioto Downs is... harness racing.
Okay.
That's where they have the little buggy. But that is the home of the West Virginia, what do they call it? West Virginia something race. It's a premier race that's held once a year, and it pays like $500,000 in a first prize or something like that. But in downtown East Liverpool, besides the museum that's there, the architecture in the city is absolutely beautiful, and there's a couple of really nice antique malls there to see, but there's a lot of history there. Pretty Boy Floyd, who was a gangster back in the 20s and 30s, was actually killed in East Liverpool, just outside of East Liverpool. He was gunned down by the federal guys, the feds, and his body was taken into East Liverpool to the local funeral home. And you can actually stop at that local funeral home. It used to be, I think it might still be, a bed and breakfast. My wife and I stayed in it.
Okay.
You can actually go downstairs, and the lady that runs the place will show you the embalming table where he was laid out. And they have some photographs down there of him laying on this table.
Really?
Pretty Boy Floyd, And because he was from, I think, Chicago or someplace out that way, they were supposed to prep the body and then send him back. Well, before they could, the people of East Liverpool wanted to see the body, so they opened up the funeral home, and they were lined up like two blocks down the street to see Pretty Boy Floyd laying out on the table. He also shot up one of the banks in East Liverpool, and if I'm not mistaken, you might be able to get that building's not a bank anymore, but I think you might be able to, it's like an insurance agency or something, you might be able to get inside there and see where the bullet holes are still there.
Really?
Where he came in with his Tommy gun and history. Shot the place up. Yeah, history. It's history. It's history. History.
History.
If you, let's see, let's, while we're over in that part of the state, let's go down to New Philadelphia.
Okay.
New Philly is just off of Interstate 77. To get there from Marion, you would probably want to take, go over to Mansfield and pick up Route 13, and that will take you down through the Amish country, Millersburg, places like that.
Oh, okay.
Stay right on that road, and eventually that will run over into New Philadelphia. I think there's, you might have to take Route 90-something, 93, something. I can't remember now. 63, I can't remember. Very easy to find if you got a map, Google, you know. Set up it on your telephone. But that'll take you to New Philadelphia. New Philadelphia, another very historic town. It's one of those towns that still has a square where when you get to town, you have to drive around a monument that's in the middle of the,
right.
of the square. Nice downtown. It is the home of Trumpet in the Land, I think is still going on. That's an outdoor drama that talks about the Shoshone Indians who were settled there and were Christianized by the settlers, and then there was a massacre that took place there.
Wow.
Where the Indians were massacred
right.
By settlers coming in. This is a big outdoor drama, kind of like the one they have down in Chillicothe, Tecumseh,
okay.
similar to that. Also, there is the Werther Museum. The Werther, Mr. Werther, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was a carver. He was an immigrant and a carver and made knives. You can still buy his knives there, and you can tour his museum. There's a beautiful museum there. His wife was a button collector.
Mm.
There's one separate building that is full of nothing but the buttons she collected over the years, and they're all on plaques that's up on the board. Great place to go. Definitely take a tour there because you can see them making the knives just like he made them over 100 and some years ago.
Wow.
And if you own a Werther knife, which I have a couple that were given to me by my wife's father, you can take that knife back anytime and they'll sharpen it for you for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
another
good.
Great place. And of course, while you're in that area, you can go to Amish country. Everybody loves
That's
to
a
go
beautiful
to,
place.
Everybody
too.
Loves good
yes.
Amish country. Berlin, Millersburg itself. Get off of the main road. Get yourself a pick yourself up one of these books, you know, in one of the tourist spots down there, and pull out the county map and drive the county.
Right.
Honestly, Berlin, Charm, some of those other places, Walnut Creek, they've all become commercialized over the years.
Okay.
So to really get a feel of how the Amish live, you need to get out in the county and drive those county and township roads. You know, I was telling earlier when Mary Ellen was here about having 45 third graders at the one-room schoolhouse
right,
at Lynn
right.
School. The Amish still use one-room schoolhouses.
Do they?
They only go to 8 grades. And they don't have to finish 8 grades if they don't want to. If they,
so you're
if
saying they don't usually
home.
Do like we do, like all those years of schooling and stuff,
no,
you know?
No,
wow,
they,
okay.
They basically go
Eighth
from
grade.
The end of when crops start being planted,
uh-huh.
or I should say when crops come off, the school year starts after crops come off.
Okay.
And then they end before planting starts. So most Amish schools are only going maybe 90 to 100 days in school, and they only do 8 grades.
Okay.
So like Lynn School, the younger kids sit in the front of the school, the older kids are in the back of the school, and there's generally only one teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So the older kids will have to help the kids in the middle if the teacher is busy with the kids in the front.
Right.
And that's the same thing that happens in the Amish schools. But if you drive out into the country, especially when school is on in the fall of the year after crops are off or in the spring of the year, you will see those kids outdoors playing.
Right.
It, fascinating in their clothing and all that. But that's the true Amish.
Right.
Berlin and some of those places become way, 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 way too commercialized.
Wow.
In fact, a lot of Amish are moving to other areas to get away from that commercialization.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few Amish over in Hardin County now. Have you ever been to Mount Victory?
No, I don't think
Mount
so.
Victory's just outside of Kenton. I think that's Route 31 that runs into Mount Victory. There's a large
Kenton, Ohio.
Kenton, okay. And just across the Marion County line, right, in right. Hardin County.
I may have ridden through there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mount Victory's a little town. A lot of antique places there, but if you go out into the county, drive some of those county roads, you'll see the Amish have already bought a lot of farmland over there. So you can see a lot of Amish there. But Amish country, of course, is a nice place to go. Let's see. While you're down in that area, if you go back between New Philadelphia and Millersburg, Berlin, you know, between those areas there, Sugar Creek. Mm-hmm. If you go back, like you're going back to New Philly and get on 77, Interstate 77, and go north, you'll see the exit for Zoar, Z-O-A-R.
Okay.
Zoar was a community that was founded by, and I can't remember the name of the religion, but they were Germans, and they were like Calvinists, you know, something like that. And they started this village called Zoar. And the village itself has been restored. Mm-hmm. So you can tour the village. A lot of the original buildings are still there, still intact. You can take tours of that. A couple of times a year, they have historic reenactments down there. At some point, I can't remember whether it's in the summer, they do a Civil War reenactment down there. They also do like a Revolutionary War. But it's a great place to take a tour of what life was like in early Ohio,
okay,
with German immigrants coming here to escape
Hitler?
No, this was in like the early 1800s,
okay,
to escape the religious persecution that they were suffering in Europe.
Mm.
Yeah, so because there was a lot of that going on over there, especially with the Catholic Church being as strong as it was in Europe,
right,
it was
right.
hard for some of these Protestant organizations and Protestant religions to take a hold, just like the Amish. That was one of the reasons why they ended up coming to the United States, because they could get religious freedom here.
Right.
So that's a great place to go. And, of course, if you're in that general area, you might as well go straight on up the road, and 77 will run you into Canton. C-A-N-T-O-N.
Okay. C-A-N, okay. Now you're getting up there by my relatives.
Yep, and now you're near, of course, the Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So you can see that. But you can also visit the McKinley Museum and the McKinley Monument.
Okay.
And go downtown Canton and visit the First Ladies Museum. Is located there, and that takes in all the First Ladies of the United States.
Right.
Beautiful museum, wonderful museum. The dresses that you'll see there, inauguration
wow.
dresses and for beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things. You can tour the home that the McKinleys lived in when they were still living in Canton. Actually belonged to Mrs. McKinley's father. She was a Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was a bank president there in Canton. And McKinley, who had gone through the Civil War, was actually born in Niles, Ohio, and grew up basically in a little town down the road from Niles. Poland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he got his license to practice law, went to Canton, met Mrs. McKinley. They were Miss Saxon. They were married and lived in her father's house until he was elected governor of Ohio, and then eventually ended up as president. So you can tour all those things.
Okay.
And Canton's a nice city to tour around too.
It's not bad.
So it's not just a Football Hall of Fame. There's a
right.
lot of great history there too. You can see.
I didn't even know the Football Hall of Fame was there.
Yes, and it's attic-y. It's built onto. A couple of times earlier. We were there about 3 years ago, and they've been on a couple of editions. They have a huge field there where they play a lot of memorial games there and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So,
right.
So that's kind of like the southeast section of Ohio. And next time I'm here, we'll take in some of the other sections. I think we're about running out of time.
Oh, yeah.
And
we got
my voice
like 3 minutes,
is about going,
right?
And I still got to do tours today at the museum.
Well, thank you for your time. and your education, your knowledge.
Well,
and
I always enjoy being
sharing
with
us.
I always
and
enjoy
all that.
Being with Mary Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
she's a
couple,
great woman. A
couple of years ago, I had a Mary Ellen Withrow Day up at our museum in Sycamore.
Okay.
And we went up for, I think we got there around 10 and stayed till about 1. And people came in during the day to meet her and get bills signed and all that thing. And the first person that came in that day, she was on the board of directors for the Wyandotte County Museum. Mm-hmm. And she came specifically to see and talk to Mary Ellen because she and her husband had bought a farmhouse out in the county, out in Wyandotte County. And it actually was a farmhouse that belonged to Mary Ellen's grandfather.
Oh, okay.
And when they were doing some work in the place, in the wall, they found her grandfather and grandmother's marriage certificate and brought it down and gave it to her.
Okay.
It was absolutely fabulous. And this is when they used to have these great big ones. They were the bigger than your computer screen.
Wow.
And they were all fancy, you know, mm-hmm. and had this beautiful writing on there. Yeah, it was a marriage certificate for her grandparents.
Oh, that was very special. So
that made her day.
Yes,
that
I'm sure it did. But that was very special.
We had a great time that day.
Well, thank you, Fred Malone, chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. Thank you for listening to A Voice of the People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. Have a blessed and safe weekend. Until next time, be blessed. Thank you.